Since the dawn of recorded time, humanity has imagined what life after death would be like. People have aired their hopes in dreams in scripture and song and poetry and prose. There are even jokes about it that have evolved over time. An old nursery school line goes like this: in heaven, there'll be no algebra, no learning dates and names, but only tennis on the lawn and reading Henry James. Now, if you think about it, that's not a bad way of expressing a vision for the afterlife. It, in fact, is probably better than many we hear in our day and age, like playing golden harps. Though I have to admit, if I was to make a change, I probably would have voted for phrasing that included the word golf. And of course, the reason that rhyme and all the rest of these imaginings take the form they do is that when we humans start talking about our hopes and dreams for an afterlife, we're usually talking about our hopes and dreams for the present. And I don't know about you, but if I was to trade in a golden heart for golf and fishing, it wouldn't be that surprising. So this morning, I thought it might be fun to spend a little time imagining what heaven might be like, or imagining a perfect future. And what would that be like? Not the sort of things that I suspect many of you learned in Sunday school will come to mind, and certainly not the sort that usually get tossed around in our culture in this day and age, like wings and harps and floating around on clouds and the like. What I want you to do is really imagine. I want you to really hope and dream. Now, do you remember that old song by John Lennon, Imagine? When I was younger, it was one of my favorites. Imagine there's no heaven, it's easy if you try, no hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine there's no countries, it isn't hard to do, nothing to kill or die for. And, yeah, no religion too. Imagine all the people living in peace, imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. Nothing to kill or die for. A brotherhood of man. Now, I know not many church people were all that impressed with the song when it came out. After all, its words imagine away our creeds, our pledges of allegiance. It invites us into a world without sect or soldier, without religion or regimentation. John Lennon's imaginings were disturbing to many, not just a few. But this morning it strikes me that another John, a John who lived long ago on a desert island prison, had just that kind of vision. This John, the seer, wrote, as we heard just a minute ago, "I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." No temple, John the seer of Revelation writes. No religion, too. Consider what's being said here. In heaven, John the seer tells us there won't be any churches. In heaven, there won't be any synagogues. In heaven, there won't be any cathedrals, no mosques, no temples. Think of it. No religions to argue over, to argue about who's true and who's not. No arguments about who's got an exclusive claim on God or God's love, for that matter. Just imagine. No Sunday morning competition between the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians. No denominational arguments with endless discussions about who can be at the table for a simple Jesus-led meal. No crusades, no wars, no inquisitions, no holy office, no archbishops, no bishops, no rectors, no priests, No imams, no rabbis, no Dalai Lama, as much as we'd miss him. No Ayatollah. Imagine. Just imagine the city that has no need of sun or moon to shine on, John says. For the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring to it the glory and the honor of all the nations. There won't be a Chernobyl, there won't be a Three Mile Island, or a Fukushima by accident, or Hiroshima or Nagasaki on purpose. There'll be no hunger, there'll be no thirst, no homelessness, no refugees, no wanderings. Only the glory and the honor of the nations. No shame. Just imagine. It's funny that John Lennon wrote a song about his vision for a new world of no nations and no religions and nothing to kill or die for, that's almost exactly like John the Seer's song. Nothing unclean shall enter it, but only what is the Lamb's book in the Lamb's book of life. Note, there's no alternative Lamb's book of death. Just life. Just life in abundance. Nothing to want, because it's all there. He writes, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit producing its fruit each month. Each month, every month, a different kind of fruit. Not only life in abundance, but life in all its glorious diversity and variety. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, he writes. Well, as I thought about John's revelation this week, I was reminded of something. It was an event in early January of this year held at the Islamic Foundation of Greater St. Louis, who invited the public to tour their mosque and to have a discussion about Islam with them. Over 400 people came out. They packed the place in solidarity with a community that was facing hardship after the terrorists supporting the Islamic State attacked Paris. People gathered there. They listened. They asked questions, sometimes challenging ones. In the midst of it all, I remember hearing one voice ask, if the word Islam is derived from the Arabic word for peace, why is ISIS doing this? The imam's response was like that so often given over the years. They do not represent true Islam, he said. So I was driving home from the mosque, and I was reminded of another gathering some years before, just in such a setting, when a Jewish group came to visit my previous parish, and a young man rose to ask an equally challenging question. If Jesus was the Messiah, why isn't the world filled with peace? The room got animated. He asked the question because Judaism teaches that the coming of the Messiah is accompanied with an age of shalom, an age of peace for all. And clearly, the 2,000 years that have passed since Jesus' time have not been filled with peace, anything but. That day, knowing looks were passed and exchanged across the room by young and old. I said to the young man, the question's incredibly important. It's important, I said, because we Christians do believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and we believe that his life, death, and resurrection was at the very heart of who he is and what he was meant to be. It was the inauguration, if you will, the beginning of a messianic age. I continued, but we also believe that we are the continuation of that messianic ministry. That it is through us that peace is supposed to happen. Through us that shalom, salam is to be brought into the world. Through us. So if there is no shalom, the responsibility is not God's, it's ours. If there is no shalom, it's because we failed to produce it. This morning in the gospel, Jesus says, "Shalom, I leave you. My shalom, I give to you." And John the seer offers us a vision of just what that shalom might really look like. A new creation, a new world that knows no division, no anger, no hatred, no prejudice, no hunger, no injustice. When it comes right down to it, that's what we're here to do, to produce shalom, to produce peace, to make heaven right here, right now. And how do we do that? Well, I think that John Lennon had it right. We start by imagining. We start by imagining that things don't have to be the way they are. We start by imagining that things might someday be, in fact, different. We start by imagining that heaven will be different so that we might actually manage to make earth a little different. And we come with our imaginings together, week in, week out. We come as conservatives and liberals. We come as male and female, black and white, gay and straight, young and old. And when we come together in this place, we become one. We leap across the borders and boundaries that separate us to greet each other. We gather at this table where we are made one body, one household. For at that table, there is no distinction. The gate is open to all. We are all God's children, broken, flawed, hurting, sorely lacking in imagination, but children nonetheless of God. And if we can imagine that, then by chance we can manage making the imaginings alive in this place. And then making those imaginings alive for the hope of the world. Hope for a world where we no longer need to turn to our children and offer an apology for why there is no peace. An apology for what we have done and left undone. Just maybe there can be hope for a world with tennis on the lawn, with golf, with Henry James, with whatever sets your heart aflame with delight and joy and acceptance. A world of shalom, a world of salam, a world of peace. Imagine it in this world, here and now. Amen.